You're listening to Between the Stripes LOI podcast. Subscribe now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your favourite shows from. Now here are your hosts, Kieran Burke, Jonathan Breyer, and Gary Riley.
Hello everyone, welcome back to Between the Stripes LOI podcast. It's series 8, episode 9 of the show. And yes, this is very much forced enthusiasm this week. It has been another dreadful week for myself and Gary Riley, but we've got a duty to our brilliant listeners to put as much energy as we can into this. So here we are back with another episode, and I'm delighted to say, look, it was obviously a very emotional night for us down in Kerry the other night, but there was a huge slice of League of Ireland history achieved there, I suppose. Kerry getting their first ever League of Ireland home success, and it was their 50th competitive game as well, which I wasn't aware of before kickoff. So it was a nice way for them to seal it. So I think it's only right we highlight that great success on the show this week, and that's why we have got the Kerry FC head coach Jack McCarthy joining us a little bit later on the show. Obviously, we're going to do our usual thing. We'll look back at the Premier Division results from the weekend, the First Division results from the weekend. We'll play our predictions game, and we've got another BTS hotline with lots of your questions to be answered. So lots to get through. As ever, we're brought to you by Quinn AV for all your sound, light and AV solutions this League of Ireland season. Check out quinnav.ie. Gary, I'd ask you how you are, but I think I know the answer.
Yeah, I'm all right. Just a desperate weekend for Longford Town. Or desperate week, desperate season, desperate everything. Really disappointing game on Friday. I know I'll come to it, but it was a disgrace.
Desperate weather, desperate football, desperate everything, but here we are.
Good kebab.
Decent, we'll get to that later. It's disappointing that we're having to go a long way out of these places to find a good kebab. It doesn't really serve our listeners to tell them, yeah, go to the feckin' arsehole of nowhere in the middle of Tipperary or wherever, but we're going out of our way to find a decent kebab, so we'll talk about that later. But look, let's talk about the football, and we'll start in the Premier Division. And St. Pat's, we wonder, could they back up that result against Sligo? They certainly did. A 2-1 win against Shamrock Rovers. The Saints, after a bit of a leisurely walk to start their season, they're firmly marching now.
When did you come up with that rubbish?
Well, I had 10 hours between, you know, getting to Kerry and getting back to come up with this nonsense in my head. So there you go.
Yeah, great result for Pats. Kind of unexpected, to be quite honest. I didn't think they had the bottle to be getting a result like this. But I think a great helping hand from Leon Poles didn't
hold it. As we said last week.
Yeah. Well, look, there's obviously been a big question mark over his capacity to hold on to the number one shirt for Pats. I think there might be an opportunity here, or for Rovers, excuse me. Might be an opportunity for Lee Stacey to come in, but I don't think it was that, you know, it obviously cost him a goal, but like it wasn't the worst mistake. Like he didn't let go through his legs or like that. There was a couple of other poor goalkeeping over the weekend as well, but yeah, like really good great win, very important win, kind of that puts them up to third, could set their season in motion really, because they're in and around Derry and Sligo amazingly, and Rovers as well, of course. But I was surprised to see that they managed to even hold out in the first half, because they were under a good bit of pressure. Rovers had a good few chances, and they weathered that. Probably some poor finishing from Rovers as well, but Pats did very well to get the goals and keep their neck in front coming towards the end of the game. But huge result for them.
Yeah, massive result for them. Drogheda 2, Shelburne 2, we'll come to the obvious discussion point after, but as ever, we'll go to the football first in this one. The opening goal, it's a good result for Drogheda at home. They played very well, but the first goal they gave away, they'd be very, very disappointed with that one. The Coyle was allowed to run a long way before he popped it in, and that came right on the stroke at half time, and then they switch off right at the end as well. Now, I noticed, I was watching back some of the game this morning, Andy Wogan, the keeper, was out injured, and the lad Barr came in who hasn't played yet this season, and I just wondered if Wogan was there, it was like there was a little bit of
hesitation
between the goalkeeper and the back four for them two goals, whereas I think Wogan would have been very quick off the line there, would have closed that gap, where I don't think Barr was confident enough to do that or didn't have the communication, the relationship with the back four to be able to deal with them situations. So they were probably a little bit unlucky there, but yeah, they'd be very disappointed with the two goals to give away because they played very well in this game, Drogheda.
Yeah, 100%. I think the Coyle goal is, like, I think focusing on the keeper, he could have bailed them out, but it should have never got to that stage. It should have never...
Fair point.
None of that should have ever been allowed. It was good play from Coyle, but he was kind of welcomed into the Drogheda penalty area and then just to get the touch on it to bring it around the keeper. So I think it's a good result for Drogheda. Obviously, it could have been a huge result for Drogheda. I would have handed Chelsea their first loss of the season, which would have been, you know, showing that they're mortal. But yeah, good performance from Drogheda. They were lucky with the free kick as well, a big deflection to bring it.
Yeah, they were. But I suppose Evan Weir's got a couple of them in Derry. A couple of them this season. I don't think we ever got a conclusive angle on the one in Derry. But I think people that were at the game said that world he scored early in the season definitely took a touch. But I just think that we were talking about this on the way down or back from Kerry the other night. Like, he's been around the league for a long time, and he's never a player that he'd never be to the forefront of your mind. But no. This season, he's been very, very good for Drogheda. And I haven't got out to see them live yet, which is unusual. Usually I'm over there a good bit. But like, I've watched back a lot of their games, and he has just been so good down that left side. And like, the quality he gives you from dead balls, you're probably going to get that bit of luck because he hits a ball so clean.
Yeah, well, that's it. It's kind of like, you know, blasted across the box low, and you never know who's going to hit it. If it's an own goal or your own player scoring a goal, it's kind of the same idea that if you're taking quality free kicks that are going towards the goal where you want it to go, then, you know, you're going to get those opportunities or those bits of luck throughout the season because you're just getting a lot of, or you're making a lot of attempts. So, yeah, 100%. Like, it doesn't really matter. Like, no one will care that it took took a deflection and went in, and he gets the goal and puts him 2-1 up, but Boyd is there to get his head on it at the very end. So yeah, decent result for Drogheda, but of course, you know, you can't help but feel for them that they dropped 2 points here.
Obviously the game overshadowed, unfortunately, by some idiot in the away end striking the linesman with a smoke bomb. So the game was obviously delayed for 15 minutes and then it restarted. I have to say, credit to Damien Duff. I watched his interview. He came out, totally condemned it. I suppose we've had a lot of questions we'll hear in the BTS hotline at the end is going to be about what punishment will follow. The FAI, unfortunately, have set a precedent here now where the only possible punishment they can give Shelburne is an away ban.
I don't think so. I think this is an escalation again.
Well, Drogheda last season in the Louth Derby, they struck, or did I say they, Drogheda, as if Kevin Doherty or someone did it, but someone in the Drogheda section last year struck an official with an object in the Louth Derby, and then they got the away ban for Talla. We've seen we've seen other teams get similar punishments this season, so I think they've set the precedent there. But like, obviously, a lot we're probably jumping forward a bit, but a lot of the questions we're getting in the hotline later on is about, like, is that enough? And we've been clear on this before. It's not, for me, the only suitable punishment there for Shelburne. And I don't like to call for this. It's one idiot that's done it. And I've said before about, you know, there's going to be families and that looking forward to going to Talca Park for the next game. But this can't go on. This needs to be stamped out. It should be a Talca Park home ban next game. That's the only possible solution here.
Yeah, home ban and let the away fans in.
Yeah.
I don't know.
At least a partial closure of Talca. There needs to be a home-based punishment here.
Yeah, 100%. I don't disagree with that at all. I think when Bowes were got the away ban for Drogheda, I said, like, my point was to close half to Jody. I think that would have been a suitable punishment, especially with the cameras looking into the Jody as well, half it closed. Oh, why is that closed? Oh, yeah, because our fans were idiots in Richmond Park.
That's not that long ago. So the fact that we've had another incident now quite shortly after that, I think it goes to show the punishment isn't fitting the crime. It needs to be stronger.
Correct.
The FAI have been weak on this if you go all the way back to the Shamrock Rovers incident down in the RSC, they were weak on the punishment there, and they've continued to be weak on it, in my opinion.
Yeah, they have. There's a lot of talk about like how it's unacceptable and how someone's going to get hurt and all of that stuff. But, you know, you can come out in front of certain things. And look, the FAI are weak on absolutely everything. There isn't something that you could say that they're strong on, other than talk and ring all the time. So I don't really... Well, we talk plenty of ring as well. We're guilty of that too. But we're not the governing body for the sport. So, you know, it'd be interesting. I think they've... You know, they really damaged their bargaining power, their punishment power, after rolling back on the Shamrock Rovers thing. And there was no punishment there. Like, it was a 10 grand fine or 5 grand fine or something like that, which was a total waste of time. And, you know, they've because this is going on, unfortunately continuing to be a part of the game at the minute in Ireland, it's going to have to be like a real gradual punishment level.
It's
unfortunate that they did that. Would have been, you know, Shamrock Rovers, the biggest team in the country at the minute, to give them the punishment where no fans can go to the game. That would have been Jesus. You know, that would have been serious. But the FAI rolled back on that. And now that they're away bans and even the Bows away, excuse me, the Bows away ban, that was a game on a Monday night up in Drogheda.
Yeah, correct.
Yeah, like, so
doesn't send out a message. That's a great point you made there. Yeah. If the Rovers ban is held up that time, you're looking at LOI TV, you're looking at an empty, completely empty Tala, because let's face it, UCD wouldn't have brought anyone. You're looking at a completely empty Tala. That sends out a message.
Yeah, it does, yeah. But also, like, I had a couple of Bulls fans on to me, oh, thank God, it's only that game. Yeah. I couldn't make that anyway.
Yeah.
Who cares? I was going to watch it on LOI TV anyway. Mm. So, you know, there's a lot of stuff like that. And, it's just unfortunate. But, look, it has to be eradicated from the game. I know, I really don't know how you do it. Like, you know, how do you stop it in the first instance? Like, I know the FAI is supposed to give them some credit, you know, coming out with, you know, the orchestrated statements from all the clubs about, you know, this can't go on and can't be doing this, and, you know, pyro is going to hurt somebody. It's probably going to get to the point where, you know, someone has to get seriously harmed in a crowd or on the field and get for a serious punishment. Or a wake-up call for some people, but I don't really know what the solution is. You know, I talked about, like, you know, proper way to dispose of them within crowds, and I know that's kind of endorsing it, but I think if they were done quietly and there was no real talk about it, that, okay, we're not endorsing it, but at least it's a safe way and no one gets hurt, because that's the headline that we need to avoid. You know, I think was it last night it was last night. RTÉ News had a piece about it. Obviously, they didn't on the telly. Obviously, they're not about the results or the goals or any other good news story. Because someone was harmed, and the game had to be stopped on Friday, they had a piece about it. So, you know, that doesn't help the image of the league when everything else is so positive at the minute.
Yeah,
except for Longford Town.
Bows nil, Waterford 1. Great finish from Padraig Ammon, but how the ball ever reaches him when there's probably 7 or 8, maybe 9 Bows defenders in the box, they're all mannequin like in their defending. And it's a great finish, as I said, from Ammon. They probably created enough chances to warrant a point out of this game, Bows. But for me, like, there's been a lot of talk about what will Rennie do with this team and all the rest.
Yeah.
I think this is Bows in a nutshell for the season. Until they get to the summer anyway. The squad isn't overly strong. I think they're going to win 1 week, they're going to lose 1 week, and it's just going to be as unscientific as that, to be honest.
Unscientific or scientific, probably.
I don't know. Yeah, whatever. I just think it's not a great group. They're going to be up 1 week, they're going to be down another week, and this is a snapshot of that.
Yeah, I think that's a fair summary. Simply... They seem so disjointed, like, and probably it's been going on for even longer. Like, it seems to be, I don't want to say a DNA of them, but I don't know, they've been so far off it for so long. Like, they're talking about, like,
I think I know where you're going there. We've spoken about this. There has been at Bowes for a long time a soft underbelly. They've been a bit of a soft touch. I do think when he gets the chance to bring his own players in, I think Reynolds will make them that little bit more tough. I've even noticed so far, I think that they seem to be a bit more direct under Reynolds, and they're putting in some good balls from wide areas. They look a bit more dangerous on set pieces. So be interesting to see when the summer comes whether he's bringing in players that will maybe fit that game plan a bit more. I think it's just really going to be potluck results, because I just don't think the squad is that great.
Yeah, I'd be certainly certainly on the squad currently is not great. I think there's a lot of passengers in it, a lot of lads that are more nearly performative about what they're at rather than actually impacting the game in any way at all. You know, there's lots of, obviously, the social media is great. Like, if they win a game, oh, what a team. It's very, very up and down from the Bulls fans. You know, like after this game, like, most of the team should have been shot on the field immediately after. It was that bad. But I think that, like, I've seen constant praise, we'll say Dylan Connolly. Who else was there? I know Dylan Connolly was getting a lot of praise. He seems to be, and I thought he was actually Bo's best player in that Bo's Derry game I was at recently, really putting in the yards and working extremely hard, running by players. But I think there's from Rennie's perspective, he has a big job on his hands, but he has plenty of time now, because I think this season, in a lot of people's minds, is almost a write-off.
Like, yeah, that's almost how I feel. It's not his group of players. He won't really be judged on it. I think the results that they're probably going to get were results that probably they could have got under Devine, but I think they just had to move Devine on because the feeling there was so bad. But I think if you put any manager in there at the moment with the tools that's there, you're probably just going to get the same sort of results, very up and down.
Yeah, exactly, and very unreliable. You know, lots of mistakes, lots of miscommunications, probably won't have like a regular starting 11. Probably a lot of chopping and changing. You know, this lad's crap, we can't play him now for a month. Mm-hmm. And next, you know, another lad gets injured. Oh, we have to put in this useless lad in again. Be a lot of stuff like that, probably. And there probably won't be a consistent group throughout the season. Maybe, we'll say the keeper, Paddy Kirk, Dylan Connolly, they say fit, like, they'll probably be regulars throughout the season, but there'll be a lot of other players that just are unreliable. I think I saw a bit of praise from Adam McDonald as well. Player I wouldn't be a massive fan of, but probably easier to look great in a team like that at the minute as well. But yeah, I think you're right about Rennie. Like, he probably has the season now to start identifying players, getting them in. I know there's a lot of talk about him working well with Pat Fennin in the past. He was under a good bit of pressure, it would appear, because there isn't, don't really see the fruits of what Pat Fennin does there. But look, I think for, I don't like, there's a lot, excuse me, I've seen, I got a message from a friend of mine, Bo's supporter, and he was like, I'll see you in the red and black derby next year in the first division.
Seen that, yeah.
Don't really know if it's going to be that bad. I don't think Bo's get relegated.
I think so.
Dundalk are going to save them on that. But you know, it's going to be a bit of a slug of a season for Bo's fans.
Yeah, a great result for Waterford. We kind of were a bit worried about them last week. Their form had just dropped off, but good to see Ammon back scoring again. And as we said, he took his goal really well. And Asamoah again with another brilliant performance out wide for them. Derry 4, Dundalk 1. This was a proper hammering as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Not unexpected, obviously. Surprised to see Dundalk score, actually. Still shows that, I don't want to be harsh for the sake of it, but like, is that their second goal or third goal this season?
Third,
yeah. Of course, it was Derry.
Yeah, it was poorly defended as well. It reminded me a bit of the Walsh goal last week. It was a poor goal for them to give away, and they got away with one a few minutes beforehand. The lad that scored the goal for Dundalk, okay, and he got in earlier and he put it over the bar. But I think, again, nearly the bigger story after the game from a Dundalk perspective was Stephen O'Donnell's media performance. And we've been very critical probably of O'Donnell on the show for some of his handling of the media. But I actually have to say, we listened to his interview at LMFM coming back from Tralee the other night, and I felt genuinely sorry for him. He sounded like a man that was beaten.
You felt sorry for him?
Yeah, I did. I felt really sorry for him. He really sounds like a lad that's beaten down.
All right. Okay, well, I wouldn't feel sorry for him. Have you not heard any of his other interviews in like the past like 3 or 4 years? Like, I'd feel sorry for a lot of the people that had to listen to a lot of them interviews because they were pure scutter. So he's feeling sorry for himself now. I wouldn't have any sympathy at all.
But I don't want to cover all ground because it's a podcast. We're trying to put fresh stuff out there every week.
No, I'm not saying that. It's just
what I was just going to say is, like, for me, and I've said it time and time and time again, I think most of the Daw fans would agree, he was sold a pup when he left St Pat's.
Yeah, and so you're saying I was right.
I just said we're not covering old ground. He was sold a pup, and I feel sorry for him because I think you could hear in his voice the other day, he genuinely cares. The last couple of interviews he's done, the one where the week before, where he kind of, you know, referenced the quality of player they were bringing in, when they were being brought in, and then the comments he made the other day, he sounds like a man that has very little hope of turning things around.
Yeah, I think so. But and you know, the tools that he has are pretty much non-existent.
Yeah.
Like, you look at immediately after halftime, I think Patching got the goal, and you know, he's not closed down at all. There's about 6 or 7 Dundalk players around him, and it was Patching that drove it in, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was class finish.
Yeah, great finish. But he was given so much time and space to do that.
That's really right after the restart as well.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
You know, Dundalk are in store for a terrible season, and they're living up to that at the minute. But they get through the first half 1-0 down, a scuttery first goal as well.
Yeah, there was a couple of deflected goals for Derry, but then again, they had other chances they could have took. So that's why I said at the top of the preview of this game here, or the review of this game, that, you know, this was a proper hammer, and it was a 4-1 and could have been more.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But like, that's all they conceded. At the end of the day, no matter, Stephen O'Donnell wasn't walking in at halftime going, Jesus, this could be 6. We're actually only 1-0 down now, and it wasn't a great goal that we conceded. So, like, we can keep this tight, and who knows what will happen. Same as the opening game of the season, it got a free kick. So, you know, it wasn't life-altering first half. But then to go out immediately into the second half and allow that to happen in front of you is just, it must be just terrible to be looking at. And it is terrible to be looking at, but unfortunately, like, this is just going to be the size of it for Dundalk going forward this season. I don't think they're going to be I don't think they're going to get much respite at all this season. And look, even though I disagree, I hear what you're saying about feeling sorry for O'Donnell, but you know, it's where the club is at. It's the reality of it at the minute, and he just has to get on with it for the time he's there.
As for Derry, good to see them scoring a few goals. We thought they might make heavy lifting of this, and you said last week, if they can't win this game without Patrick Hooban, they may throw their hat at it. Well, he didn't play and they won comfortably, so a better night at the office for Derry than they had the week before. But Dundalk, many people feel in real fear, real danger of slipping into the first division, where they would be perhaps meeting Kerry FC next season. Of course, Dundalk recently taken over by the former Kerry man, Brian Ainscough. And we're going to be joined on the show now by our guest, Jack McCarthy, the Kerry FC head coach, because they had that fantastic victory, their first ever league win at home in the League of Ireland against Longford Town on Friday night. Now, I'm delighted, although I'm not that delighted, I have to say, to have the Kerry FC head coach, Conor McCarthy, join us on this week's show. But look, it was obviously a huge slice of history in League of Ireland and Kerry FC football, as Kerry claimed their first ever league home win in what was their 50th competitive game as well, a smashing 3-0 victory against Longford. And Conor joins me now to talk about that. Conor, huge congratulations. I think it's fair to say this result has been coming for a while now.
Yeah. Thanks very much, Kieran. Yeah, I suppose like the result, I suppose, yeah, like that recently, the performance have been really, really good throughout the whole season, to be fair, regardless of win or loss. They've been really, really good. So I think it's kind of been edging towards, you know, getting 3 points on the board. So I think kind of just fell our way on Friday night, and we were able to get over the line and get all 3 points.
Yeah, as I said, it felt like this had been coming because your team were on a 5-match unbeaten run going into the game against Longford, albeit they were all draws, but still a good sequence of results to put together. And there was probably some of those games where you should have taken the 3 points and just couldn't get it over the line. So this had been coming, as we said.
Yeah, no, I think it's like that. I think it had been coming. We kind of felt it within the group that like that performances were quite good, you know, that all the numbers were making sense, that we weren't conceding that many. That meant we were in every game. And they were like, that would probably only matter before maybe the couple of good chances that we had that probably didn't fall our way, kind of fed our way. And we knew that if they did, we might get a night like we got on Friday where a couple of them going.
This management lark is easy, isn't it?
No, geez, no. I wouldn't say that, no. tough work, but little nuggets of happiness along the way like Friday night, which is nice. But head down again now tomorrow morning and get ready for treaty.
Yeah, the manner of the result and performance must have been particularly pleasing. I think maybe when most people kind of had a vision of what way Kerry's first League of Ireland home win might come, they probably had maybe an idea of a tight game and maybe a late goal or something like that. But you blew Longford away. It could have been a lot more than 3 goals.
Look, I think to be fair, like look at the goals we got. They were good goals. We took them well. But something like that, like in every game, you're going to get periods where the opposition, you know, have a strong foothold in the game. I thought there was a 20-minute period in the first half where Longford had a good control of the game. But you know, I think it's a good sign of what we're doing at the moment is those little periods that we're probably not in control of, that we're not in control of the ball. We'll say we're defending really, really well and we're not conceding. And like when you do that, you've always got a chance that, you know, you could flip it. Like, and I think there was a 20-minute period where Longford were probably, you know, had probably more of the football, but we actually ended up winning the 20-minute period 2-0. So it kind of flipped the game on its head, and like that, I thought it was kind of mature in that sense that we were able to see out a bit of pressure, and then they could go on the other end.
Yeah, there was one little period in the game I actually wanted to ask you about. In the second half, when your team were 2-0 up, it seemed like your team just dropped off a little bit, maybe got a little bit closer towards your own penalty area, and you'd been in this position so often before, I suppose, in recent months where that first win looked like it was coming and then you conceded late goals. And I just felt if Longford had got a goal at 2-0, it's a totally different game. But your team then weathered that little period, as you said, and came through and got a third. But was that the most worrying part of the game for you, because you'd been in that position before and had obviously seen points slip away before in that kind of situation?
Yeah. I suppose we did get like a little bit deeper in the second half. But then again, I'm pretty sure you're down there, Kieran, and the weather was quite strong. We kind of knew that if we dropped off a little bit in terms of our lines, that we could probably protect the space behind us a little bit more as well. So there was a little bit in there that was intentional, just to prevent any longer balls to get in behind, that we could have a bit more control of it, and that we felt if the game was in front of us that we could do that well. And to be fair, I think I remember they had a good chance in the first half with a header, but other than that in the second half, I don't remember too many chances where they shot at the goal. So they kind of, yeah, Longford had a lot of the ball, but I thought we kind of defended it and controlled the situation without the ball well enough. And then we kind of were lucky enough to kind of, on the other side, the boys up top of the pitch, Ryan Kelleher, Kennedy, Daniel, when the ball went up, then they got it to stick and got us time to get up the pitch as well. So, you know, like that, boys defended well and the other lads got us up the pitch as well.
Yeah, like we see in all sports, don't we, where there's a big prize on the line and it's almost like finish line syndrome, isn't it? Then them nerves set in when you can see the finish line. Are you hoping now the fact you've got that win and so comprehensive as well, that maybe this will be a building block towards being able to see out games that little bit stronger?
Yeah, no, definitely. Like, and you know, I think the group, like that, as you say, like there's a bit of nerves and a bit of monkey off the back more than anything, just to kind of see out the game. So I think the fair to the group, they've kind of gone through nearly every situation this year. They've taken the lead and they've got nicked back and they've had to see out the game and just take the draw. They've been behind and they've come back to draw. They've been at all and seen out a draw. You know, so they've kind of gone through a couple of situations now. So that was a good one to take the lead and hold out in the lead. So yeah, look, hopefully it'll give them a bit of confidence and to know that they can do it. But like that, you know, you have to do a lot of hard work to get in those positions to start with. So, you know, like this week now, again, obviously we're in Limerick on Friday night, and as everyone knows, it's tough to go there. So we need to be at it, and hopefully we're in a situation at some period of the game where we can maybe hold on for another couple of points.
And of course, Kerry picked up 10 points in their first season last year, and you've already got 8 points on the board after the first series. So you must be very pleased with the signs of progression that are there.
Yeah, no, to be fair, we're happy. In terms of, yeah, where we're happy enough, but like that, there's always areas for improvement. You know, we're constantly looking where we can improve. you know, I suppose as a staff, we're kind of as critical as we could possibly be in ourselves and really looking at things. You know, I think our numbers in terms of goals conceded and stuff are in a good place, but we feel like they can get better again. And our goals that we scored are only, I think we're ninth in the league of goals scored. So, you know, we want to improve on that area as well.
I think you're still nearly double though in terms of the goals you'd scored this time last year. So again, the metrics are all positive, I think.
Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah, Kieran, they're definitely improvements and they are getting better. But I suppose at that, you're always trying to just get an extra bit better here and there. So no, we're happy where we're at, but like that, we're not exactly satisfied. We want to keep pushing.
You mentioned the defensive record. Again, I think you conceded 22 at this stage last year, and it's only 10 now or 9 and around that number. Your team has been very competitive in every single game.
Yeah, no, it's definitely something that we kind of had a big focus on this year. I think set pieces we struggled a bit last year. So I think we conceded one corner and one direct corner, one wide free kick. You know, yeah, conceded 10 goals, which I think is fifth in the league, and in consideration we played 9 games, which is probably more than most teams. So our kind of numbers are good defensively for what is in the league. So we're look if we can keep that level up, and like that, if we're not conceding goals, you have a chance of winning games or a chance of getting points. And, you know, if you can get a few points on the board, you know, you don't know where it'll take you.
What have you made of the division overall so far? What do you make of the strength of it?
Yeah, I think it's probably a bit more competitive than last year. I think, you know, to be fair, you know, Waterford and Galway were definitely in a league of their own last year, like, and you can see that by the way they've started the Premier Division. You know, but like that, I think the league is still, it's very, very competitive, which I think is exciting. I think, you know, you're going in there after a game having a quick look on live score and you don't know what you're gonna see in terms of results. It could be anything. Like, so it's enjoyable and it's exciting in that way. But, you know, I think probably clubs have probably lost a couple of players, probably their better players have. No, I think, you know, at Lone last a few and Wexford last a couple, you know, so that the big players probably went up to the division. But like that, I think it's competitive. You know, you go into every game and it's going to be, you know, really, really competitive. So it's enjoyable in that sense.
And I know you had a bit of disruption in the goalkeeper position early on this season, but the lad Tutid that's come in has done quite well.
Yeah, no, Antonio's done really well. We know Antonio from when he was at Finn Harps last year. I think he played us once and he made a penalty save in the last minute and made a few big saves. So he was on the radar very quickly for us. And yeah, since he came in, he's been very good. I think he's had a couple of clean sheets and, you know, he's performed very well. So we're very happy with him. And like that, as the whole kind of defensive unit, I suppose we're probably helping him out in that sense as well, that we're probably defending that a little bit better. So he's a bit more protection as well.
Yeah, you mentioned earlier the weather on Friday was biblical rain. You obviously had that mad game against Bray as well this season. So hopefully the sun will come out of Mount Hope Park soon. But great crowd out there the other night given the weather. What's the atmosphere been like around Tralee and the wider area since the win at the weekend?
Yeah, no, it's been good. You know, I think to be fair, look, it's a long time coming for the fans. You know, they've been up there, like that, as you said, Mount Hope Park. We say it's cursed every time we go up there for training or a game. There's rain or some sort of element to come out and greet us. So, you know, they came up like the last day, you know, week. I think a couple of results. There's been a confidence there. You know, people really, really are kind of buying into it again. You know, it's not just the novelty of it. You know, they're probably going up there and hopefully they get a result. So, the sport has been brilliant, and you know, hopefully we can just give them a few more results to kind of get nice like Friday night again.
Yeah. Conor, look, it was a great result for Kerry the weekend. Congratulations and thanks so much for speaking to us.
No worries, Kieran. Take care.
Are you enjoying the show? Please consider buying us a beer via our website betweenthestripes.net or head directly to buymeacoffee.com/BTSLOI. Thank you for your continued support of Between the Stripes.
Yeah, so guys, as great as a night it was for Kerry, it was you'd probably have to argue it's up there as one of the worst nights in Longford Town's, well, recent history anyway, that I can remember.
I don't think it's that bad. You know, we got relegated a few times and...
Come on, 3-0 to Kerry, and that's not disrespect to Kerry, but it was the manner of the performance. They're sitting bottom of the First Division. I can't remember a time we've been bottom of the First Division. I think it goes down as one of the really dark nights of Longford Town.
Why'd you have to start with this one? it was desperate. It really went into a new level of desperate.
You know, yeah, I mean, I think you described the UCD performance and result, which is only two games ago, as a shambles on the pod last week. We thought it couldn't go lower than that, and it went a lot lower. That's hugely concerning.
No. It was definitely a different level of lower. It was. I can't think of one player that could have been satisfied with their performance. I think Oisin Hand was decent again, but he was kind of on his own.
For Jack Brady, it could have been 4 or 5 or 6.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, sorry. I momentarily forgot Jack. He kept him in the game. Well, he kept the scoreline down, actually. I think is probably a more appropriate way of looking at it. I think the... Even just to highlight Oisin again, actually, he's there a couple of times, like he headed out a ball from a corner, let's say, and then he's running by Longford Town players to go and block the follow-up. Yeah. Why is that? Like, I'd love to get an actual answer, and I'll probably look for one on Saturday myself, but how is that allowed? How is that tolerated around, you know, and I just don't understand how... Longford Town doing, like we'll say.
You put a question out there. If I was going to give you my perspective on that, I feel like there's a lack of leadership on the pitch. I highlighted it numerous times on commentary during the UCD game. As soon as a bit of adversity comes, everyone's looking down at their toes with their hands on their hips. And it was the same on Friday. Longford go 2-0 down. The ball's in the back of the net. Nobody's running to get the ball. People are just sauntering back to the halfway line, looking at their toes, feeling sorry for themselves. Nobody's talking to each other. Nobody's effing and blinding each other. There's nothing. And like that's demoralizing to watch as a supporter.
Oh, it's desperate to watch as a supporter. It shouldn't be tolerated at all.
And that's why I made the comment last week. I know you didn't really want to engage with it or whatever, and that's grand, but I said there's a couple of lads I'd like to just grab a hold of and shake to wake up, and that's what I was kind of getting at, like the lack of reaction on the pitch to any bit of pressure or bad luck. It's just very, very gut-wrenching when you see that lack of emotion or, you know, any sort of reaction at all.
Yeah, well, it's bottle, you know, in a lot of ways. You know, are you going to stand up to it? Like, you know, you're 7 games or 8 games into the season now and 3 draws and 5 defeats or whatever it is. You know, it's shocking stuff. Like
there's a way to lose a game. And I think I said that a couple of times on Friday. Like, you know, you just need to, the game's gone 3-0, the game's gone, but you play for the shirt in the last 15 minutes. And I didn't see that.
No, probably not. Actually, when I interviewed Stephen Henderson at the end of last season in the in Athlone, and I think he was like, you know, a quiet team, and Bastian Heary had a good game that night, to be fair. He's had a good season, actually. And he's the only lad that's kind of talking and kind of running the game for Longford Town, and like he said that, like, that's not going to be the case next season, that we're going to have a lot of talkers on the field and a lot more communication. I haven't seen not a gram of evidence of that yet so far. No. And unfortunately, still bashing going on. And actually, this is kind of a bit of a love letter to Oisin Hand, but he's the only lad that does be doing a bit of talking on the field. Dean O'Shea actually was okay on Friday, and he was doing a bit of, trying to organize and talk to players around them and stuff like that. But I don't really know how it's pulled out of the fire from Longford Town. Like, obviously, this is Kerry have been kind of threatening this all season. They've drawn their last 5 games, scoring goals, being tight at the back.
Funny, if I'd predicted this, didn't I? I said that it was probably going to rain like crazy and that they'd get their first win, and that's exactly what happened. So
and you were right. I just say, like, you know, I don't know how, like, I'd love to know what Longford Town players are thinking, you know, about the game on Saturday playing Bray at home, like what type of characters are going to show up to that game. going to be interesting to see.
Yeah, just a quick word on Kerry. They seem to play a lot more football than they did last season, which is obviously understandable. They came into the league last season and they tried their best, but they were massively lacking in quality. When Longford won 3-2 down there last year, I thought Longford were very lucky to get out of town with the 3 points. But that night, they were just absolutely bombarded with long throw-ins and set pieces and balls into the box, whereas they were actually opened up with some nice moves the other day from Kerry. So they do seem to be playing better football than last season. They're getting better results, as we said with Jack there in the interview. All the metrics, goals conceded, goals scored, everything is going in the right direction for Kerry at the moment.
Yeah, it seems to be the case. There were far more organised. There was a lot better quality on the field. But I think the gap in desire between the two teams on Friday was, Jesus Christ, you know, Pacific Ocean levels of gap between them. I just don't understand. But yeah, it seems to be like a more communicative unit of players that are working better for each other, and it was a great example of that on Friday again, and they were fully deserving of the 3 points and a 3-0 win.
Like, listeners were probably, like, a lot of people were tweeting us Friday, like, oh, next week's pod will be interesting and all that type of stuff. They're probably expecting a massive rant from either me or you, but like, it's got to the stage now where I have no anger left to give. I'm just so disappointed and genuinely heartbroken. I know it's only seven games in and all the rest. It could be worse, and it's only a game of football at the end of the day, but like, it really does shape. Like, the last couple of days have just been utterly miserable. Like,
yeah, no, the absolutely, and you know, it's just, yeah, it's just. Yeah, no, you're right.
Let's talk about something that genuinely cheers us up, and that's kebabs.
BTS, oh yeah,
BTS kebab review time.
We decided to get out of Kerry.
Get out of Kerry as quick as possible.
yeah, couldn't be looking at it. Excuse me. And that, I suppose that's fair enough. Get on the road. I think we stopped in, where was it? Newcastle West, I think it was.
Yeah, because we went through a town or a village before that, and there was literally, the lights weren't on anywhere. There was nothing going on in the place.
It was terrible.
Can't remember where that was, so.
Yeah.
And your Google Maps kept suggesting places that didn't exist as well, which wasn't overly helpful.
No, it wasn't.
You were two or three laps of the block looking for these places, and they were just boarded up houses or whatever, so.
It was terrible, but look, got this, and where is it? Chicken Club, which was a risk.
Or was it Chicken Club or Chicken Hut? Yeah,
I think it was Chicken Club.
But generally we'd only go to, you know, a place that's
has kebab in the name. Try it anyway. Like, we try to avoid the, you know, the pizza and kebab establishments. Yeah. You know, that's a risk.
That's a good little tip there for our listeners.
Yeah, well, eating kebabs at the level that we do is a risk anyway, but we've years of experience built up into our stomachs. But yeah, no, it was a decent. I didn't enjoy it, but kebab, it was quite nice. If you're on the road back out of Kerry and you want to get a bit of a head start, go to Chicken Club in Newcastle West. What would you give it?
I got 3.5 out of 5. I got a kebab tray. It was grand, but I think we went from a famine where we weren't eating anything at the start of the year because all the games were getting called off, and now the last couple of weeks we've just had kebab on top of kebab, and they all do start to taste the same a bit after a while, I have to say. So I go 3.5 out of 5. It's grand. Plenty of sauce. Sauce was nice.
Yeah.
Thumbs up.
That's it. Yeah.
There you go. Right, let's move on. Harps 1, UCD 1. I think actually we'll start with a non-football issue here. Obviously this game had to be moved forward to 5 p.m. Harps having issues with the floodlights, and again, felt very, very sorry for Finn Harps in that instance. I think this is actually an issue that we could see a good bit of, not just at Harps, but across the league. From what I'm hearing from people that are involved in clubs, this is an issue that a lot of clubs have a concern with, because parts are getting harder to get for some of these older floodlights. And Harps referenced the fact that they've, you know, tried to get government grants for LEDs and they haven't been able to tap into that grant. So, you know, I seen a couple of weeks ago Thomas Byrne tweeting about how great it was to see 10,000 in Talla. And then you've got the complete opposite here in this situation. So, again, it just goes back to We really need more support here, but you've got to feel sorry for Harps. But, you know, they got 1,000 people in the gate, and a disappointing result, I'd suggest, at home to UCD. And now I think UCD are a good side, as I said a couple of weeks ago, but this is a third consecutive game. Now, you probably would have expected Harps to pick up 3 points, and they didn't. So their home form just slightly worrying at the minute, because Darren Murphy, when I spoke to him after the first game of the season down in Longford, you know, he highlighted how they had only won something like 4 home games last year, and that was very un-Harps like that. Usually Finn Harps, such a tough place to go, and he wanted to make it a fortress again. And it looked like they were going to do that in the early part of the season. But as I said, just the last 3 home matches now, games you would have expected them to win, and they didn't win any of them. So that's a little bit of a worry in otherwise what's been a good start to the season for Finn Harps.
Yeah, 100%. I think they're probably getting into a bit of rough and tumble of the season now after a strong start. I don't think it was ever going to be, it was never going to be like, right, we're not going to lose any games at home, but I think probably not as many not winning so many early on in the season probably is a bit of a concern. But I think even like that Cork game, that was a good result. You know, Cork are probably going to win the title. But I think particularly against 10 men of UCD, they had a lot sent off.
Did you think that was the right card?
Not for a second. Not for an iota of a second. Not a minute. Desperate decision from the ref.
Not the only one this week as well. I've had footage sent to me of, I didn't get watching the game back in full, and there was no highlights, funny enough, for Bray Athlone today when I went to have a look on the FEI YouTube channel.
That was because the stream went sideways for a while, so
no surprise there. I had footage sent to me of the Dylan Hand red card. It is an absolute travesty of a decision. The referee in the Kerry Longford game was absolutely desperate bad. Now, had no outcome on the result at all. He was desperate as well as Longford. But like the level of performance, again, we actually hadn't talked about refs too much in the early part of the season. We were getting tweets from some other fans, but generally we had seen a couple of good refereeing performances. The last couple of weeks, that's the third consecutive Longford game I've come away from now, and I said, just the basics, the absolute raw basics of the game that you cannot get right. It's so frustrating. Everything else is on the up in the league, and we're talking about refereeing standards every single week now at this stage. Fans are coming away from games, and it's probably the same for most leagues in the world. It's the most scrutinized person on the pitch is the referee. But yeah. I mean, when you see basic stuff, like I think the referee in the Longford Kerry game the other day got struck by the ball 3 times. Like, it can happen once in a game. Maybe it happens twice. 3 times, you're not looking, you're not caring about your position on the pitch. You're not taking care. He went to do a restart, a drop ball. He's not looking at what he's doing. He dropped the ball down onto the lad's arm. And then obviously the Longford fans and players are shouting for handball. So he just picks it up and restarts the game again. And he's still stood on top.
He gets in the way. Yeah.
Like, come on.
Yeah, that was very poor. But even like with stuff that was never fouled. It was nearly like he was trying to ref a basketball game.
Yeah,
where
no
any
aggression, no
foul.
Yeah.
Brutal stuff. Really desperate performance from the ref in Kerry, and a 100% no bearing on the game, on the result anyway.
But we'll get back to the subject. So, yeah, it's one of those, the UCD red card, you only get the one angle of it, so you can't see if maybe he's gone in with a slightly raised foot or anything, but I did think initially looked more of a yellow than a red. But, as you said, Harps would be disappointed that they didn't capitalise on the extra man, but they nearly did. Kian Moore made 2 unbelievable saves late on for UCD. Just on the UCD goal, I thought was a lovely move for their equaliser.
Yeah, it was brilliant. Really good stuff. And very poor defending, I thought. Like there was one man in the box he could hit and he found him. Good stuff from UCD and a great result for them, particularly after going down to 10 men and one man down as well.
Yeah. Right, where are we going next? This was a mental game. Wexford 3, Treaty 2.
Yeah, Jesus.
Two very fortunate goals for Wexford, particularly the winner. But I think they had created enough chances earlier in the game to probably deserve that little bit of luck. They left a lot of chances behind them. So I do think they were the deserving winners. They were very on top early. Were they 2 up in this game?
Yeah, they were. Well, 2-up. I think so.
Yeah, and well on top, and then Treaty out of nowhere came back into 2 unbelievable goals from Yo-Yo Maddie, and we spoke about Yo-Yo when he signed for Treaty at the start of the season, how it would work out. And so far, it seems it hadn't been working out. I've been reading a lot of comments online from people saying that just he hasn't been a good signing at all. But I suppose he's got that bit of quality in him that everyone's hoping Tommy Barrett can unlock and untap again. And we saw glimpses of that quality with the two goals. But it looked like Wexford were going to let the 2 points slip, but they, as we said, got a little bit of fortune late on, and yeah, a couple of deflected goals, but 3-2 win.
Yeah, great result for them in the end. I thought they made a hames of it, to be quite honest.
Yeah.
Especially after going 2-0 up, but they had a couple of chances. I think there was one lad through on goal, and he managed to
hit straight at the keeper.
Can't remember his name, but I think he was a young fella anyway. But at the same time, need to be doing better at that and really kill off games. But those are difficult chances. Particularly, I think he picked up the ball in his own half and ran through, so he had a lot of time to be thinking.
Yeah, I think it was off a treaty corner.
Yeah, and he did well to knock it around the treaty lad back and up the team. But great result for Wexford. Really, probably an important result as well. But I think I was right in saying what I said about
the drop off.
The drop off. Yeah, exactly. For treaty, I think we're getting into more regular understanding of where Treaty are going to be towards the end of the season. Like, that's their third loss in a row after, you know, and that's kind of more in the position that we expected them, what I expected them to be in at this part of the season. So, still early days. It's not, no league has won or lost at this point, but I think that's probably going to be win one, lose one, couple of nice little run from Treaty, couple of losses. It's going to be that type of season, I believe.
The Cork Derby, Cork City 3, Cove Ramblers 0. Nearly three identical goals for Cork. They were all cutbacks. really poor defending from Cove Ramblers. And the pitch must have just about been playable, I'd imagine. But that's not the first time we've seen that at Turner's Cross this season. Now, it's not the only ground. We've seen DC Park looking like that at times this season as well, but pitches are in a real state now. Look, it's not probably just a football issue, I suppose. The way the weather is, we're hearing all about the issues the poor old farmers are having. Lots of race meetings been called off. Like, it's just a disaster, the weather at the moment. But are we gonna have to look at a solution here, like something more centralized in terms of just leaving it to individual people at clubs to try and look after pitches and having no resources? Will we be better as a league to invest in a centralized?
Well, a crack team of pitch men going around the league, like.
Well, we need something.
No, we don't need that.
There's loads of different workshops at the start of the year. You get media workshops and SLO workshops and all that. Is there a groundsman workshop?
No. Come on, man. You're not going to tell. There's some groundsmen going around the league, like we said, the Longford groundsmen. Like, there is nothing about grass or turf.
Yeah, well, couldn't he pass that on to a few other lads that maybe are a bit fresher, a bit greener than him?
Yeah, good one, yeah. Ring him up and then give him some money and say, right, we have a problem down in Bray. They don't know how to manage their pitch.
Well, isn't that centralised? That's kind of centralised.
No, it's not. No. We don't need. We. It's.
So what? Just leave it as it is. Leave the pitches all in a heap.
No, I'm not saying that. Yeah, on one hand, we're saying that at the start of the show, we said FEI can't wipe their holes, right? And now we're saying that now they're going to manage a centralized pitch management system. Would you stop?
So what, I'm trying to offer a solution. If you got any solution,
that's not a solution. What I was going to ask there before you went on this, we open up this can of worms. Is, well, I don't care one iota about the GAA, but are many games getting called off in GAA?
Probably a smaller level, maybe club level or whatever, but intercounty.
Yeah, maybe people that care about GAA can let us know about that, because I'm not hearing any games being called off. And as you did mention the farmers and all that, and the problems that they're having with the weather. But I don't know, I think there's pitches that need a lot of work, that need, you know, probably capital work, not just like, you know, oh, we need to I don't know, get some of this water off or cover it off. I don't know what people do, but like there probably needs to be, you know, more investment into actual how the pitches are designed. Like there's probably drainage pitches there that haven't been, haven't gotten proper work in, they got to 10 or 15 years.
And then as we've spoken about so many games going on some of the, like Turner's Cross, obviously Cork City don't own that pitch. So I don't know what's going on there during the week. But like
Wexford had a bag of games on.
Bag
on
of games, and it's never recovered from that bag of games. Whereas like you're talking about inter-county grounds, like how often are you going to have a game on in you know, some of the top inter-county?
Oh, never. Sure. They're just massive relics. They're nearly like... I think it's some of them grounds are nearly like something you'd see in Chernobyl or something like that. They're just like just empty carcasses, massive arenas that are never ever used. Other lads go in and, you know, walk around with a bit of paper in their hand all day. Yeah, it's fascinating. We won't open that door. But just on the pitches, yes, it's a problem, but I don't think workshops or anything like that. I think there needs to be an actual proper investment in drainage and turf and stuff like that. Not, you know, I don't think there's going to be a class that you can take that will resolve this. Obviously, the rain is still raining. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you know, I'm not saying that either, or that's the, like, pitches probably do need to be in better nick anyway and able to handle a bit more rain, considering where we are we're in Ireland, there's a lot of rain. So...
And where possible, just better planning in terms of use of the pitches as well. I think some clubs
some clubs are completely taking the piss. They're not pushing the limits. They're taking the piss.
On the game itself, as we said, very poor defending from Cove. Cork, a good comprehensive result for them because they haven't had too many of those lately. And look, it was bound to happen that Jack Doherty would score and he duly obliged. Bray Wanderers 3, Athlone 0. We won't spend long on this one, guys, because as I said, there was no highlights available for this match. But the red card decision, you've seen it as well. I sent you on the footage. I mean, that was just absolutely shambolic to send Dylan Hand off there.
Yeah, look, we're no big fans of Dylan Hand, and I don't have that much sympathy for him at all. But and this is an insane call. I don't know how the ref came to that decision. Go on to LOI TV and find it. I can't remember what minute it was. It was a disgrace. I don't know how on God's green earth the ref came to that decision. Like, it was just, it was a travesty. Like the, for people that haven't seen it, I think Dylan was in front of the Bray player. I think, would it be fair to say the Bray player takes him down?
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah.
Bray player takes him down, Dylan Hand gets sent off.
Yeah.
I don't know.
As I said, I don't really have much more to say on this game because, as you said, the stream went sideways. So, can't talk about what I didn't see. So, before anyone embraces, oh, look, the Bray got a great result and you won't talk about us now. Yeah, there you go.
I think the stream missed a couple of the goals or something like that.
I can't confirm that. I haven't, again, didn't see any of this game. So,
yeah, well, no harm.
Right, let's move into the BTS Predictions League. Last week, we had a Shells fan playing with us. That was Kieran Carrick. And once again, we were outshunned by our listeners, far more knowledgeable than us, Gary, about anything to do with this league. Kieran got the correct score in the Harps UCD game, the Bray Athlone game, and he also got the correct result in Cork and Cove. So he picked up 7 points. You picked up 3 points and I picked up 2. So, yeah, grim week all around. So, we go again this week. I will update the league table shortly. I still have to go back to the week before and listen back to it to get the up-to-date table. But I think the listeners are out in front at this stage. We're joined by a regular contributor on the old BTS hotline, Gaz, our friend Sporticus, who is an Athlone Town fan. Mr. Sporticus, he is playing this week. And we'll go to Cove Wexford first. Wexford were involved in a little bit of a mental game last time out against Treaty. Cove took a heavy beating off Cork, but they're back on home Astro, not home soil. How do you see this one going?
I think this is going to be a very tight game, and I think the pitch is going to play a massive role in this because the pitch that we saw on Monday, it's not in any way. It'll take a long time for it to be right. Just it needs time to be bed in, and look, obviously I'm no fan of Astro pitches anyway, so I just think it's going to take a bit of bit of time for it to bed in properly and all of that rubber to actually go into the Astro grass itself. But I think Wexford are clearly vulnerable at the back. I think Cove, this is going to be a difficult game for both teams. I think 1-1 here.
Okay, I'm going to go for a Wexford win. I'm going to go 2-1. Sportagus thinks this is going to be another... Actually, most of his predictions are high-scoring ones this week. He's going 3-3 in this game. Athlone, his team, are taking on Finn Harps. We'll throw out his prediction first, given he is an Athlone town man. He is going for a 2-1 win to the home side here.
Big call. Athlone are going not great at the minute, are they?
No.
Another bad loss there. It'll be without Dylan Hand again. Was that his first game back?
Yeah, I'm not sure on that. Yeah. Second red of the season. So will he get more of a ban for that, actually?
I don't think so. I think once it's not...
Surely they can appeal that one, can they? Well, they can appeal it, but as we've seen before.
But they can appeal it, but is there something about can't use video footage or something? Isn't there some shite about that?
Who knows?
Look, I'll give you our brains are very full with a Longford Town related grief at the minute, so it's very hard to process other information.
when we were down in Tralee the other night, as you know, we're going away next week to the States.
I'm not going.
Me and herself and the in-laws. But we obviously have a group chat set up for this, and they were sending in stuff on Friday night about restaurants. And I just replied, I do not have the headspace for this right now. I have a 5-hour journey home to think about. I was in the house last night and they're all just kept coming out with, oh, I'm not in the headspace. They were winding me up. But there you go. That is literally life at the minute. I tell you what,
do you want a Chinese, Marco? No, I can't have
I can't follow Sportacus here. I'm going to go for a 2-1 win to Finn Harps. I just think that low, I'm way too vulnerable at the back.
Yeah, they're conceding plenty of goals. Like they've even conceded more than the town, which is an achievement in itself. I think they'll tighten it up. I'm going to go for another 1-1 draw.
Okay. UCD against Cork.
Yeah, I might waddle over to this.
No, don't. Don't. Why? Don't. This won't be a good game.
Oh, no, it won't be a good game. But sure, Town are playing on Friday. I want to see some... there'll be more quality than what's going to be on show on Saturday in Longford. So.
There'll probably be goals Saturday in Longford. Even if they're pointing, half of them might be for Bray, but I don't know. UCD 1, Cork 1. I haven't gone for a 1-1 draw yet. I'm going to go for a 1-1 draw here.
I'm going to go for a 2-2 draw. These are a lot of draws here. Someone's going to win, but...
Sport is going 1-1 as well. Treaty against Kerry, a Munster derby, one of the numerous Munster derbies we have in the League of Ireland these days. And Kerry will be nearly feeling a tad invincible at this stage. 6 unbeaten. And you touched on it, a Treaty going into this off the back of 3 consecutive losses. Pressure's on them here.
Pressure's on. But I think they're going to win this one. I think it's going to be a quick return to... to reality, and I just feel there has to be some reaction out of Treaty. Three losses on the bounce has to change. So I'm going to say 2-1 to Treaty.
I'm going for another 1-1 here. Sportacus also going for a draw. He goes 0-0. Longford Town against Bray Wanderers. I mean, they only played each other a week or two ago, so how different can a game be in that space of time?
Well, Longford will find a way. Okay, I'm clearly an idiot, so I'm going to go 1-0 Longford Town.
Okay, I'll go for a draw just on the basis they only played, can't be that different, even though Longford looked to have got worse, and I suppose Bray are still Bray, very up and down. Both teams should be eyeing this for 3 points. No one should be settling for a draw here. There'll probably be a lot of talking points after this, I'd imagine. Sportacus goes 2-2, which again is probably the sort of scoreline a lot of people will predict here, because two teams that can't defend for their life.
Just before you bounce on that, what did you go on that result?
1-1. same as the last game, the last meeting.
Do you think we'll see any improvement?
Sure, it has to be. I don't want to talk about Longford anymore. Shells against Bowes.
Oh, geez, you can't play it just Shells against Bowes as if it's Longford against Bray. This is a big game. I think it's on telly as well.
Is it?
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Yes. Big. This is a massive game. Well, actually, is it? You know, actually, Bowes are so poor. Shells are so good.
It's probably the biggest game of the weekend in the Premier, although Sligo Rovers fans will be arguing it's them and Shamrock Rovers. In terms of league position, that might be fair. Shells, Bowes. It should be simple. We should be just jumping at Shells here, but neither of us are. Why is that?
Oh no, I'm jumping at Shells.
Are you? What are you going?
Oh, I'm going 2-0 Shells.
2-0 Shells. Okay, fair enough. Sportwick is going 2-1 to Shells. I'll follow the two of you. I'll go for a Shells win 2-1. I'm worried that I'm not jumping out of my skin to say, oh yeah, Shells definitely win. I don't know why that is. Waterford against Galway, two newly promoted sides.
Yeah, Galway came back in this one, didn't they? In Aim and DC Park.
Yeah, the Waterford keeper who had a good game the other night, but he let them back into that with a free kick, you might remember. Waterford are at home in this one, and I think if I remember, if I go back to that podcast when we were reviewing that one, I think I said down in the RSC they might take them. I'm going to go for a 2-1 win to Waterford.
Yep, I'm going to follow you on that. I think Amond will score again. I think they'll get a bit of, you know, pull out of Waterford will get a bit of pull out of that good result on Friday in Dalymount. So, I think Amond will score in 2-1 win to Waterford.
And Sportacus goes 3-3. He loves the high scoring games. Dundalk against St. Pat's.
Fortunately, I don't. Are Pat's capable of scoring a few goals here? Like, are they?
Score 2 against Rovers, they should be able to score 10 against Dundalk.
But I know. I think there's like a bit of a bit of nervousness around Pat's.
And that should be gone now after the two results they've had.
No, I still feel it in them. There's a bit of like uneasiness or something in them that they're not going. You know, they've had the two results have, you know, recovered their table position, but you know that's only because it's so early on in the season.
You surely don't see them not winning this game.
Oh no, I do, but I'm just trying to go like, is it going to be a 1-0 moral victory for 1-0 win for Pat?
No, I'm very worried. I'm very worried about what I heard from Stephen O'Donnell the other day. Like, that just sounds like a completely crestfallen man. Yeah, like just it's like there's no coming out of this. It's going to be interesting to see what happens at Dundalk, particularly if they took a heavy beating at home here. Last season, Tim Clancy started the season with Pats, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, they went down to Oriel and got bet 5-0 last season. In the early part of last season. Pats.
What? Did they?
Yeah. I was at the game, yeah. it was bizarre to say the least. And now we're in a position where if Pats won 5-0 on Friday, I don't think anyone would be surprised. I don't think it'll be that bad. I'm going to go 3-0 to Pats. I'm following Sport because on that one, I'll turn it over to you now.
I'm going to go 2-0 to Pats. I don't think they're ruthless enough. I think Rory Keaton needs to score big time. So hopefully he'll get one here on Friday.
Drogs against Derry. I'm going to give you Sport because his prediction here, because he left a little comment which he said 1-0 Derry, but the game will put us all to sleep.
Oh, I think it will. Unfortunately, I think Drogheda are going to try and do... What Pat stayed up there a couple of years ago?
Yeah.
Like, it was just backs against forwards, hacking away at every opportunity. Keep them out of it. Maybe Longford Town could take a few...
The end of last season, they held them to a... Oh, I was commentating on it for LOA TV in Drogheda, a dour 0-0 game. And again, like, have Derry changed that much from last season? No, the result against Dundalk, but as you so well put it last week, like, if they can't beat Dundalk, may throw their hat at it. So I'm going to go a little bit like the Longford Bray thing like how much can have possibly changed? Not that much. I'm going to go 0-0 for this game.
Ooh. Where is this game?
In Drogheda.
Oh, it's in Drogheda.
Which Drogheda won up in Derry last season.
They did. Yeah. They did. And they were very unlucky not to get a point up in Brandywell earlier on.
And played fierce well against Shells the other night.
Yeah. I'm going to go 1-1.
Yeah, just before we actually go to Shamrock Rovers, Sligo Rovers, Gary, there was obviously the Sligo Rovers Galway United game was called off the other day due to the storm. And when the email came through to my phone, I was like, oh, well, that's probably not a surprise, probably makes sense. But then come the evening time, things had died down and all the rest. Like this, I think the issue here is that a lot of Galway fans, and I think the team from what I was reading online, had set out on their way to Sligo. We've been caught in this situation recently enough with the incident down in Treaty last year. It's disappointing to see that lessons haven't been learned from that because like this weather warning was in place for 3 days.
Yeah. Yeah, but on the other hand, I don't think the weather was that bad either.
No. A lot of people have said that, but I suppose you can't, if we're saying supporters and everyone need to be taken into account, you can't wait until 5:45 or 6:45 and say, oh, geez, everything's actually grand now. Like, you just need to make the decision or not make the decision. I think that's the biggest gripe I'd have with it.
What time is the game called at?
I'll have to go through my emails, but I suppose it was called at a time where supporters had already set out on the road. So
I thought it was called off earlier than that, to be quite honest. Like, I don't really see... Like, on one hand, right, yes, you have to take into account fans and teams and everything like that. No question about that. But on the other hand, you have to give games a chance to get to be played. Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
So what time is this? 3:00 in the afternoon
is when it was called.
Yeah. The League of Ireland can confirm that the blah 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 has been postponed over health and safety concerns, risk of travelling, debris, power outages, blah blah blah. So 3:00, 10 to 3 in the afternoon was when that tweet was put out. No, I'm not buying that. Oh, fans had set out. Yeah, but how far had they got? It got to, you know, Ballinasloe, like, wherever you get from Galway to Sligo. What's going on? Is it? No, I'm not buying that. Sorry. Okay. I think that's perfectly fine for the league. They have to give stuff a chance to get playing. There was loads of games. I saw a couple of people tweeting saying that there was loads of GAA games played in Sligo and there's nothing wrong and the game should have went ahead. But I think that's a perfectly fine. 3:00 in the afternoon, that's quit.
Okay. Shamrock Rovers against Sligo Rovers in Tala.
Oh, I think Shamrock Rovers will bounce back here. Yeah. I'm going to go 2-0 Shamrock Rovers.
I'll go 2-1 Shamrock Rovers. Sporticus goes 3-1 to Shamrock Rovers. Right, that brings us to the BTS hotline this week. Let's see what we've got on our hands here. Kieran Carrick, who obviously played in the Predictions League last season, just says it was a pleasure to represent the listeners in the Predictions League and to put some points on the board. So well done to him. Henry Brophy, seeing Devine get sacked was a disgrace. A few points off Europe and a cup final. I don't understand what Bose expect. Pats, Shells, Rovers and Derry are clearly better than them. Best case for Bose is fifth in the league. Top four would be a miracle. Get a grip. I think that kind of leans into what I was saying earlier. I don't think it matters who's in charge of Bose this season. I don't think results will be vastly different whoever's in charge. I just don't think the squad that's there is well put together. But as I said at the time, they should let Devine go in the off season because it was a bit silly wasting them first few weeks of the season when he clearly wasn't their man. Good pal Git, who did a bit of defending for us online this week, Gary. the two clowns from Between the Stripes. I don't have the chap's name, but thanks for listening, pal.
Oh, I know his name. I'll tell you
his name.
For context, he was saying that we're always hammering Sligo and Bose, even though they're great in the community, but they're crap on the pitch, which is exactly our point. They're rubbish on the pitch. They have been for years. Yeah. Thanks for being such a dedicated listener. I think that's all I can say about that. It was a weird comment. Like, obviously, take
some abuse, and that's perfectly fine. We welcome it. More abuse, please. But it's like, it was just odd. You know, we're doing all this work in the community. That's great. No issue with that at all. But like, you have to be doing something on the pitch. And yeah, if you want go off and support a charitable organisation instead, then I think that might be a better fit for you.
Anyway, Git says Aaron Bulger, Ballon d'Or nominee. Surely, we obviously were at the game, Kerry, Friday. Didn't watch back this one in full. Watched highlights of the Rovers Pats game, but from what I understand, he was excellent, which is good to hear. Seagull Chat says Stephen Henderson is this season's Dave Rogers. Being a passionate, likable guy is keeping him in the job longer than he should be. Longford on paper are undoubtedly worse than seasons past, but no way are they winless after 9 games. So yeah, that's his opinion. Martin,
that's a fair point, just about like how were they winless after 9 games?
Yeah,
I know there's a lot of, you know, just to flesh that out a little bit. 3 games cancelled doesn't help, injuries, but like to be that far off away than to be that far off Kerry.
That's what I keep saying, though. Yeah, I don't think we're as bad as we're seeing. There's just something not clicking there at the minute. Like, there's no way to be that bad. Martin Mooney, will Longford hit double digits this season? Hopefully. Paddy Walsh, McGinty, Pineacker, and others out for Sligo, and the game is magically called off. Load of shite. Had already left to head up to the game as the weather was absolutely sound in both Galway and Sligo. Joke of a decision. I suppose we touched on that a little. Sportagus, who played in the predictions.
He couldn't have got that far, though. That's the point.
Do you think more clubs are going to go to Astro over grass? Wexford seem to have scares every week for one. And I know most of Iceland has Astro. Could League of Ireland go in that direction?
I really, 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 really hope not.
Mm, same.
There's more we can do on grass that we should be able to do on grass pitches. The nuclear solution of going rip it up, we can't do it, go to Astro is not a good solution. I hate AstroTurf pitches. I don't think it helps the game. No, please God, no.
Kieran Carrick, who played in the Predictions League last week, thoughts on pitches this season? Almost feels like they're the worst it's been in a long time. Can something be done with a centralised fund by the FAI?
That's where you got this idea.
He's just saying about getting pros in from UEFA. So we've kind of touched on that on the show. Damien, who is a Dundalk fan, regarding Duffer's comments on the incident Friday night, do we need more club officials to stand up to this problem? I definitely agree. I think Duffer coming out like that is very good. Adam, after a poor start to the season but a statement victory against Rovers, where can Pat's season go from here, Gary?
Well, I think that I struggle with their capacity to win the division. Do you think they're going to gather it up and launch a sustained challenge on the title? I'm not really sure they can. Like,
it's very early to say, probably.
Yeah, everybody's played each other now at this point, though, haven't they?
Mm.
Well, to some respect, I think.
A bit of a feeling out period in the first series, though.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're always going to get some crazy results. And then people set into rhythms and stuff like that, be them good rhythms or bad. I think they'll be thereabouts, but I don't think they're going to be close to the title. They're going to probably, you know, have some good results and then, you know, maybe draw with Dundalk at home or something stupid. Mm. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't think they're going to have the cojones to go right for the title.
Who finishes higher, Shells or Pats?
Shells.
Okay. Jack Radowski dropped and an extra man put into midfield to make up for the lack of Bagley's presence. Amazing what can happen when the manager decides to play our best team. Also, how can Stephen O'Donnell at Dundalk use the excuse of not having Premier Standard players at Dundalk when he decided in the off-season that the likes of Leahy and McCourt were surplus to requirement and not good enough, and yet they're doing a great job for us? I get the Hooban situation is different, but a lot of lads he wouldn't let go. He wouldn't let go if he had them in the position he's in now. I'm not buying it.
Who would have wanted to stay?
True. But Leahy had a year left on his contract, just to point out.
Yeah, and Waterford paid for him, didn't they?
Yeah, I think McCourt had time on his contract too.
Yeah, so, clearly with the state of Dundalk at the minute, you've already kind of accepted that it's going to be a bad season. So if I can get some cash in the door for a couple of players, I'm going to take it. I think there's been an acceptance around Dundalk, well, certainly the club, definitely not the fan base, that this is going to be a bad season. And with the serious potential for relegation. And I think the club have somewhat accepted that. So maybe getting in a few pounds, getting in a couple of extra players, take a couple of chances on some players and see where they go.
Okay, fair enough. Dr. Orla, I'm definitely over Longford. Don't even want to think about them. The same way you both feel about Derry, according to your last podcast. That's a very good tweet. Elon, I'll spare you a town bashing for this week, lads. Keep the faith. Do the FAI need to bite the bullet and start knocking points for flares being thrown onto the pitch? Away supporter bans are pointless. I think point deduction should only come in if it's repeated behaviour. Wouldn't be in favour of that been an early solution at all. It's just not fair on the players. But I think, the away supporter bans, as we touched on earlier, are just not good. And finally, not a question. It's a Longford Town jab. We accept it. It's not fair. 1895 SFC has a gif of the Kentucky Colonel dancing with a bucket of KFC, so you can get the linkage there.
Yeah, no, totally warranted. Fair play to Kerry. They were full value for the result. Packed out Mount Talk Park. Not a fan of that Astro there either. It's not ideal, but no excuses,
no
whatsoever. So I think Longford have a bit of soul searching to do come Saturday.
Yeah, look, so do we.
Oh, so do we. Well, you'll be away. You don't care. You don't care about us.
Never needed a holiday more. So yeah, not sure where that leaves us in terms of an episode next week. We'll try our very best, but we're getting this one out nice and early this week. So please do enjoy it. I won't obviously get to a game this weekend, so I'll try and watch from afar. And if we're not back next week, we certainly will be back the week after. So. To myself, enjoy the holiday because I need it. Gary, enjoy the break from having to listen to me.
Yeah, I'd enjoy the holiday.
Thank you very much.
Well, I might do commentary on Saturday, so if you want to hear a load of rubbish, even more rubbish being talked, tune into the Longford Bray game on Saturday. I think a friend of the pod, Ethan, is going to be doing it with me. So, that's early days, but
lovely. It'll be a lot more biased than usual. So,
yeah, exactly. You're going to hear a lot of rubbish.
To be fair, watching the United Liverpool game today, my good God, Neville and Carragher, it's insufferable. So if that's the way the big corps are going, then it's more than good enough for LOI TV.
I hear what you're saying, but I think it's a known entity with LOI TV. You know, your volunteers doing it. That Egas former players being paid massive money to do it. Gavin Cooney had a good article about punditry and the state of it now at the minute. So it's a very good point, or lots of good points raised in it. So give that a read if you can find it on the42.ie.
I think he said the two best pundits in the game are me and you. I think that was in there somewhere.
Yeah, buried deep, deep, deep down in it.
In small print on the bottom.
Yeah.
Look, we'll leave it there. Thanks to everyone for tuning in. Thanks to our sponsor, Anthony Quinn and Quinn AV. Check out quinnav.ie for all your sound, lighting and AV solutions. Thanks to Jack McCarthy for joining us on the show. And as ever, to all of our listeners for tuning in and tweeting us as well. We love it. So thanks very much. We'll see you again soon.
Thanks for listening. Check out BetweenTheStripes.net for all your favourite BTS content in one place. See you all next week.